Wow. I mean, what a beautiful service it's been so far this morning. I should be nervous right now. But as I was watching through worship time and just looking at all the people, all of you that I love so much, and to be a part of this family, you know, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And the way that God's working and the things that he's doing right now in this body are just amazing. So I come to you like a family member, and my goal this morning is just to share with you guys what God's telling this particular family and what he's laying on my heart. Again, my name's Mark Swanberg, and happy Father's Day to all the fathers. I want to stop and realize that I know for many people, when you talk about Father's Day, that can be really good things. It could be bring back some really crazy things that may have happened in your life. But the reality is we serve a Father who is perfect in every way. And so every one of us has the opportunity to be able to have that example. My wife, Robin, would you raise your hand, honey? Yeah. She's one of those people that doesn't want to do that, but it's my beautiful wife. She's the office manager here at Parkway. We've been here for a number of years, and I just love her so much. We're at 41 years in just a few days on the 18th. I want to make sure that I say hello to everybody who's online. We're so glad as a family that you're with us as well. And just appreciate you guys being here for sure as well. I also am a father. I have two boys and two wonderful daughter-in-laws. And now two grandbabies, one girl and one boy, and so Robin and I have entered into being grandparents, which is a really kind of a cool thing. So if you'll pray with me for a second here while we open up, I'd appreciate it. Father, I just pray that right now you'd open the eyes of our heart. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this place. Your word says that you are in us and that you are with us. And so we just ask that you would express yourselves. I pray that I can step aside and the things you have to say to this family would be said very clearly. Open our ears and our eyes and remove the veils in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to burn through a bunch of scripture this morning. The Lord's been speaking to me lately about the importance of being intentional about relationships. So when I say that, there's a big difference between kind of knowing people or having acquaintances or whatever and being intentional. And so I'm going to go through some scriptures to show you what I mean as far as that goes. But so often we share the same space as others, and sometimes for many years we don't actually know them. And Jesus broke it down to a couple of commandments when it came to relationship. And those are two ways to cause our lives to be purposeful and abundant. And because he is our maker, there should be no doubt in his words. The first command that he gave us was to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. And the second is to love others as I have loved you. And I'm going to spend a little bit of time on this second commandment, and hopefully what we'll get out of this morning is just the difference of being acquaintances and knowing people versus the idea of actually making the effort in the same way that he did with the disciples. First off, God was very intentional about creating us in his image and having us partner with him in subduing and ruling planet Earth with him. And the first scripture that I'd like to read is Genesis 1:26. Through 31. And so in Genesis 1:26 through 31, it says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish.'" By the way, that's one of my favorite things. I love fly fishing. and the sea, over the birds in the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So don't miss that. We're supposed to partner with him in ruling over all creation that he's made. And God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him, very intentional. Male and female he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over all the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Then God said, behold, I went too far. So God is saying to us that his plan for us is for us to rule over everything that he has given us. In verse 31, he says, and God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning on the sixth day. God was very intentional about us ruling and partnering with him. And it's really important that we understand this relationship that he's desiring to have with us, because we kind of look at it like, you know, there's God and then there's us and we're passing through. And the reality is God wants us to be side by side with him. Again, in Jeremiah 1:5, let me turn to Jeremiah 1:5. He's speaking to Jeremiah here and he says, therefore, I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. With being a granddad here most recently, the concept of reading this and understanding that he knew us before he formed us in the womb. For some reason, I had not seen that before that way. Before we were knit together in the womb, he knew us. This should speak to us really intentionally about God's design and desire for us to know him and the relationship that he wants to have with us. We're not just randomly passing through, but rather we have been chosen with a purpose for this exact time frame in history, and we can only fulfill that purpose by heeding those two commandments. Even in very trying times, God is chasing us with his goodness. It was not Adam or Eve that sought out God when they sinned, but rather it was God that was intentional to seek them out to restore the relationship by calling out to them, where are you, Adam? Where are you, Eve? God wants that relationship with us so desperately that even when we fail, he's chasing us down. If you ever get to a point where you're thinking like that separation that's between us is not reattainable, or you got to kind of work your way back like you do in earthly relationships, when that happened, God still showed up on the scene and he still chased after them. It would have been better if they'd have cried out to God, right, when they blew it. But that's not what happened. God chased them down and said, where are you? And he took care of their situation. In Jeremiah 29, verses 4 through 14, this is God speaking in Jeremiah to the Israelite people who, because they had done wrong and there was a separation between their relationship, between the whole nation of Israel and God, they went into exile, into Babylon in this part of history. And even in their difficult times when they were pulled into exile because of who they were, God still spoke out blessing over them. And starting in verse 10, it says, for thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good work to you to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. And I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from where I sent you into exile. God speaks to this chosen people who are exiled from their homeland because of their sin, and not only speaks intentional blessing over them, but also gives them the answers to their future restoration and reconciliation. He is always for us and wants us to thrive. All right, let's move forward to the New Testament, to the book of John, to sense the depth of intention in the relationship with Jesus and his disciples. Sheer panic breaks out in this part of Scripture. If there's any place where you want to find the relationship that Jesus has with his disciples and sort of the angst, it's just right at this breaking point where Jesus is speaking to his disciples in John 13, verses 33 through 37, because he tells the disciples, I'm going away, and he says, where I'm going, you cannot come. John 13. John 13, 33 through 37. Two different accounts here. Little children, I am with you just a little while longer. You shall seek me, and as I have told the Jews, I now say to you also, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, and you also love one another. That you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Now listen to Simon Peter right here. Simon Peter says to him, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus answered, where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me. And Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you? Why can I not follow you right now? I will lay down my life for you. In chapter 14, verses 3 through 6, it's another account with another disciple. Jesus says, and if I go and I prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? If you can put yourself in the place of these guys, I mean, Jesus comes through communities and he's saying, follow me. And they drop their nets, they drop their tax collecting, they drop everything they have and they follow him. It's the only account that we have. There's not a lot of other explanation there. And so there's this reality, like, can you imagine you had given up everything and you're following him? Now, don't forget, you've just spent the last 3 years seeing miracles. And you know what it's like when you're around a really good leader. Your tendency is when you show up, he's the guy, you listen to what he says, and you go do it. And you know there's going to be success because you've seen it over and over and over and over again. And now all of a sudden, you're thinking in your mind, Man, you know what? There's different things in the scriptures that are talked about here. We're like, a couple of the disciples' mother comes to Jesus and says, hey, how about you do me a favor? And like in your kingdom, one son sits to the left, one son sits to the right. And they're developing a mentality that there's going to be an earthly kingdom that Jesus is making. And there's other disciples that are talking about which one of them is the greatest in the kingdom. And so you could see they're building up and they're planning for something that's going to be a huge movement here on the earth. And so you've given up everything you have, all of your resources. Where are you going to eat tomorrow if Jesus is not there? You're not even in your own community anymore. You're not next to your fishing vessel that you had. Some of the ways for them to make income and all of the different things, all the natural things. And Jesus is saying, I'm going away, let alone you're thinking, wait, we were hoping that we were going to sit to your left and your right, and that what was going to end up happening was, we're going to kick Rome's butt, and they're going to serve us, and this is going to be the kingdom we belong to. Can you imagine, let alone all those practical things, the love relationship that you have with Jesus, as you have seen him care for and minister, people getting healed, delivered, demons cast out, the amazing things that he did. And he's supposed to stay and set up this kingdom on earth in your mind, and the next thing that happens is he's saying, I'm going away. That's got to be a crazy, crazy moment. They were following him and now know him. Jesus had been very intentional with his relationship with them, and now they would not know how to be without him. This is the depth of the relationship that we are supposed to have with the Holy Spirit. You're like, whoa, wait a minute. You just like changed from like one thing to the next here. This is exciting stuff I'm about to show you guys, I'm telling you. Okay? Listen very carefully as Jesus intentionally transfers the relationship that he has between him and the disciples to the advocate, the Holy Spirit, because he says that he is going away to the Father. John 14 says, 15 through 21. Listen to this commandment part because it's the key to what he's saying here as far as this goes. But if you love me, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. I'm going to get this wrong, but there was something like 614 commandments or something, and Jesus narrowed it down to those two commandments. He basically said, if you do these two, you cover all the law, all the prophets, it comes down to those two things. And we mentioned them earlier, loving God with all your heart and loving others the way I loved you. If you do those two things, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive because it does not believe him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and in you. I got to pause there for effect. Because he abides with you and in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will behold me no more, but you will behold me because I live, you shall live also. In that day, you shall know that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Let me read that again. In that day, you shall know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments, notice all these commandments that he keeps talking about, the two commandments over and over again, and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. The relationship that they and we will now have because Jesus goes to the Father will be even closer because the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, will now be with you and in you. See, the thing is, before, you had to be near Jesus to have the relationship with him. But now God is going to make it so easy on us that he's actually going to dwell inside of us through the Holy Spirit, that you don't have to go anywhere to be near God. He's inside of you. You ever been there before when you thought, oh God, can you hear me? This prayer is so important. And he's just like, hello, I'm like right there. It's like, yeah. Seriously though, I mean, we kind of missed that point a little bit. We no longer have to be in the presence of Jesus because of that relationship with the Holy Spirit. Let's take a minute here and talk about this. I want you guys to think of these terms. Jesus becoming visible, and so now you will have to see him through your spiritual eyes or hear him with your spiritual ears. So what I'm trying to say is, imagine Jesus saying, I'm not actually going to go away. Now, he did say he's going away, and he did go to prepare a place for us, and that's what he's doing. But I want you to use your imagination here for a second and say to yourself, Jesus becomes invisible and says, what if he had said, I'm going to become invisible instead of I'm going away? This is what it's like. Instead of me going away, I'm going to become invisible. So if he's invisible, now you're going to have to hear him with your spiritual ears and with your spiritual eyes. Talk about intentional. It's not going to be as easy as like when you walk up to somebody and you say, hey, buddy, how's it going? It's like you're going to have to stop and focus a second. You know what I mean? But he's just as real, but you can't see him. What if it was like that? Well, it is like that. Let's read Ephesians 1 and 15 through 23. So I mentioned here just a second ago about naturalize and spiritualize. 15, verse 15 says, for this reason, I too, having heard of the faith of the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints. I want to point out something here. This is so critical because remember the two commandments? Love God and love each other like I've loved you. What Paul's saying here in the Ephesians is, I recognize that you're doing those two things. They're covering those commandments. He says it right there. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, that's the faith, that's the love, that's the understanding and the relationship, which exists among you and your love for all the saints. So is it possible that you're doing those two things and there's more? Yeah, there's a lot more. This is mind-blowing. He says, I do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. So you already have faith in him. You already have love for each other. But now Paul is praying for those people who already have those things. And what he's saying is, I'm praying that God, that the Father will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. There's more. There's more. Like, it's not enough, the two things. God is going to just completely pour out on you. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Remember we were talking a second ago about these eyes, these spiritual eyes? He's saying, I'm asking the Father to open the spiritual eyes in your heart that you can see way beyond what's happening in the natural. That you get an understanding and a knowledge of who it is that this Holy Spirit is that you're supposed to be having this relationship with. That you may know the hope of his calling. Remember what we talked about in Jeremiah? And that he knew him and purposed him, and that you're not just randomly passing through, but that you may understand the hope of his calling. That is that you have been born for a specific reason. There's a reason you're here. You're not just another name and number going through history. You have a thing that only you can accomplish in the kingdom, and God wants to do that through you. And the only way that's going to happen is through those two commandments and following these models. And in the same way that I didn't read the next verse, but the next verse said that he had declared that he was going to be a prophet. And I didn't read that verse because I didn't want you to say, well, I'm no prophet. So my thing must be smaller. No, he's just telling Jeremiah that he knew him beforehand and he had a thing for him. And not just one thing, but a lifestyle to live through that. That's what he wants to do in you. The miracle powers of God, he wants to work through those things in your life. And we just need to get a hold of this. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory? Listen to this. What are the riches of the glory of what? Of his inheritance in the saints. The riches of his glory is you and me. The riches of his glory, the riches of his glory is the inheritance. His inheritance. And we are his inheritance. This is what the word's talking about. Do you see how important you are? Do you see how vital God is in the way he wanted you to partner with him, to subdue, to rule, to work with him? And what is the surpassing greatness of his power? I'm going to talk about this power briefly in just a second. Remember that word, power, towards us who believe. His power towards us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might towards us. What kind of might? Which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and he seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority. This is towards us still. This is part of the towards us part. Above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every single name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. We don't even understand the next age. Not completely, that's for sure. And in that age, we're going to see it too. And he put all things in subjection under his feet. Now listen to this. This is amazing. And gave him head over all things to the church. Which makes sense to us, right? Because he's the head. We follow him. This sounds great. This sounds normal, right? Listen to this. Over all things to the church. Who's the church? Raise your hand if you're the church. Amen. Thank you. Which is his body. Raise your hand if you're his body. You get that? Thank you. The fullness of him who fills all in all. I got to read that again. Okay. This time I want you to raise your hand and keep it up for if you're his body. Raise your hand, keep it up for a second because I'm talking to you right now. Who's the fullness of him? Yeah. We're the fullness. You can put your hands down. Thank you. You are the fullness of him. Wait a minute. How is that possible? How can you be the fullness of him? You are now the body of Christ. What did the body of Christ do for those 3 years of ministry that we saw that ministry happened? Whoa. wait a minute. That's you now? Yes, we're the church. We're the body. He was the body. He is the body. But he has gone away to prepare a place for us. He says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to empower you through this Holy Spirit. And you are going to be the body now. So there's nothing that he did that we are not supposed to be able to do. But I've got to share something with you that I think is just as revelatory, okay? All right. So do you remember when you got saved? There was that moment where you realized that Jesus had been there all the time. Like, it wasn't like he found you. Sometimes we say that, or you'll hear it in songs, and I just go, nah, man. He knew you even before you were put together in the womb. So he was always waiting for you. And then the eyes of your heart got opened, and all of a sudden it was like, whoa, Jesus, I didn't realize you were there all along. Okay, here we go. This is going to be a little wild, but follow me here for a second, okay? What I'd like to suggest to you is the Holy Spirit's the same way. What especially as Pentecostals, but what we've understood for years is that the Holy Spirit is an expression of the gifts. And he is. But we got to go back in the story here a little bit, and I need you to think about this. Think about that angst that happened between the disciples. Where are you going? Don't go. Jesus said, I'm not leaving you as orphans. I'm going to leave you an advocate. If the two commandments. Okay, follow me here for a second. If the Holy Spirit, if Jesus was directing us towards the Holy Spirit, then that means that the Holy Spirit would have to be face-to-face, just like Jesus was face-to-face with the disciples, because he was transferring this from here, where they're saying, Jesus, face-to-face, don't go. Where are you going? Don't worry, I have something for you here. How is this going to replace this? Yeah, it's because what he's saying is that we're supposed to be having an intentional relationship with the Holy Spirit. But we've kind of bought into this idea that the Holy Spirit first is what we see in healing, in tongues, in movement, in the body of Christ. Even we could feel the presence of the Holy Spirit well up in us and knit us together this morning in worship. I want to challenge your theology a little bit this morning by saying the Holy Spirit is a real entity, just like the Father, and we saw in Israel and saw with Jeremiah, and we saw in the creation. And yeah, it's a Trinity, so they're all one. But then we saw with Jesus and the disciples, and then all of a sudden he says, hey, it's going to be better for you. And why? Because now he's going to be inside of you. It's not just where Jesus went to that they saw him. It was he's going to be right there inside of you. And to what extent? We read that in Ephesians. You are the fullness. I know this is, I mean, it's not new. It's just like a reminder, but it's just wild. The Holy Spirit wants to have a relationship with you. So when you met with Jesus that first time and you went, I didn't realize you were there all along, I'm suggesting to you the Holy Spirit is not just that entity that shows up and does the beautiful things that we saw this morning. His first priority is this with you, to seek him out and actually have a relationship with him, and he's inside of you. Chase him with everything that you have. Because his first priority is to meet with you face to face. He was that transfer between Jesus and the disciples and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. God's omnipresent. But this is who is here in us and with us. Okay? All right. John, as I'm starting to wrap up here, John 16, 13 through 15 says, "But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all of the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come." Let me say that again. Whatever he, the Holy Spirit, hears, he's going to speak, and he will disclose it to you what is to come. "He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he takes of mine and he will disclose it to you." How could he disclose these things to us unless it was through a personal face-to-face relationship? How's he going to disclose that stuff to you? Is he going to get up here and it's going to come through somebody else? Sometimes in some ways there's going to be words of knowledge, there's going to be tongues, there's going to be interpretation. But we're talking right here that he's going to disclose this to you in a personal relationship. It's so very important that we don't miss what Jesus said in John 13, 34 through 35. And what Jesus said that I read was, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love others as I have loved you. If we look at John 14, verses 15 and 16, Jesus talks about those commandments again. We look at 14:23. He says, "If any of you loves me, he will keep my word," which his word, he's talking about his commandments there. John 15, 10 through 14, he says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in me. You will in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in him. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that they lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you." Verse 17 says, "This I command you, that you love one another." We must live our lives by these two commandments. They are very intentional. Okay, Jesus said, "Love others as I have loved you." Okay, here we go. Guys, ready for the big test? Finishing up here. The big test is to see if you can actually do this, okay? But we'll see what happens. Whether you're in the balcony or you're downstairs here, if you are on the far left, I want you to raise your hand right now. No, I'm sorry, far left. So if you're the last person in the aisles this way, and the last people up there, yeah, you raise your hand for me. Okay, keep your hand up for a second. "See, Pastor, I told you I could get volunteers for the nursery." Okay, keep your hands up. I want you to count four over from where that first person is. 1, 2, 3, 4, and then raise your hand, and then 1, 2, 3, 4, and raise your hand, and 1, 2, 3, 4, raise your hand, go. So keep those hands up. If you're the fourth person, raise your hand, and then four more people raise your hand, and then four people raise your hand. Yeah, this is the body of Christ. You can do all things. Okay, here we go. Keep coming. Keep coming. Okay, this is just a few people. Keep your hands up. This is just a few people with their hands up. I want you to ask yourself, how well do you actually know these people? Watch this. This is a trick. Okay, half of you put your hands down. How do you know which half I said, right? Okay. All right. Thank you, guys. You can put your hands down. The point is, we go to church with people for a long, long time, and I realize the bigger the church, the harder this is, it is to do. But the point is, the love that Jesus was talking about, loving each other, isn't mean we come to the same place for decades and not know the people. We're supposed to be integrated, okay? If the worship team would come up now, I'd appreciate it. I want to tell you guys a personal failure that I had. If you guys don't know Gary Berlinski, he's probably up in the top here somewhere, back there. I don't know, maybe Gary's here. Gary Berlinski is one of our is one of our board members. I didn't know Gary. I'm ashamed to say, I think Robin and I have been coming here about 26 years, 28 years. I mean, it's been a long time. So before we started doing the prayer room, opening it back up again like we haven't, man, I'm telling you what, if you want to have an experience, show up back there at 9 a.m. before the 10 a.m. service. It's incredible. It's incredible. Anyway, but before that, I used to walk around for a half hour before church started and greet people and just say hello and make people feel comfortable. And I come across this guy with a really, I mean, he's got the coolest beard ever. This guy with this big long beard, Gary Berlinski. And is Gary in the house? Huh? He's behind us, so you can't see him. He's up there. So I go up to Gary and I'm like, hey, I'm Mark Swanberg. And he goes, hey, I'm Gary Berlinski. And I said, are you new here? And Gary had been here for eons, but I never knew him. I mean, the good news was that I was introducing myself, right? And making my way around, and that's how you do that. But the bad news was the fact that I didn't even know a guy who had been here forever, and I've been completely embarrassed about that. Holy Spirit's speaking to me right now. I love these moments. Holy Spirit, thank you for this. Do you guys realize I'm going to spend not just the rest of this life, the next 100, the next 1,000, the next 10,000, the next 20,000, the next million, forever, I'm going to spend my life with you guys. We're going to live together forever. Amen. Amen. Love you, Scott. Guys, these people next to you, getting to know them now, you may as well. You're going to know each other forever. Why this message this morning on Father's Day? Men, you're the heads of the household. The reality is, if anybody was going to say, yeah, I'm going fishing or I'm doing something else, I'm not going to invite that person over for dinner, or I'm not going to spend the time, I'm not going to make the time, it's the independence of the men in the room probably that are going to be able to say, I want that time for myself or for my family or whatever. But you need to lead your families in this charge to get to know other people. And it's not just for the sake of getting to know them. Here's why. And this is what this whole message has been about today. The Lord's been speaking to me. And it's not that he's going to do a work. He's already begun a work. And it's a beautiful thing. And you're seeing a lot of that expression of that this morning and what we saw in the service earlier. And I need you, everybody, to understand the presence of God wants to settle in this house. I'm hoping in the entire valley. But I know what he's laying on my heart is that he wants it to settle into this house. And what he's saying is, I need you to come together and begin to weave yourself together. I need you to become closer with each other than you ever have before, because out of that closeness, what's going to happen is there's going to be relationships where you're going to reveal your flaws to each other. Your successes, your victories, your healings. But when you guys do that, when I do that with you, when we do that together, the presence of God is going to settle in this place, because that is going to be holiness. He wants to do a work in this valley. I can't even begin to explain to you what it is that he's put on my heart, how explosive and how expansive it is. But it's going to have to start with not just coming to church and doing church, even doing church together, even worshiping together, but actually integrating ourselves with intentional relationality, being intentional with our relationships. He chases you down, and he wants us to chase down each other. He wants us to get to know each other on a way that is so close and so intentional that his presence settles in this place. And he starts to go out into this valley, into Grants Pass, and into the rest of this community in this valley. And he's going to do a work through this community, and it's going to start in that place. My job this morning was to deliver that message to you. Pastor Jason, would you come up?
Would you guys stand on your feet? Would you guys give Brother Mark a big round of applause one more time? There's some moments that I need to come grab this microphone and add things. I'm not going to add anything today. I know we got a race to barbecues and lunches and whatever we have planned for the fathers. I will say what I felt like the Lord did in this service today through your ministry, Mark, was tie a bow on what the Lord's been leading us to for the first 2 years that we've been here. It's largely what I've been preaching and teaching, and what we've been sharing is that we've got to learn how to do life together. And learning how to do life together is going to require a lot of relationships and building and intentionality. It's from the first moment that I walked in this ministry spot 2 years ago. You guys will remember I didn't preach the first month that I was here. You guys remember that? And I said, I just feel like I'm supposed to get to know the church. I had about 150 different kinds of individual family meetings. It's from that this larger church has started locking arms with each other. And God never calls for a greater level of unity unless he's after a greater level of purpose and ministry for a fellowship. Listen to it. The altar call today is that you will get out of your pew. Everyone reach behind you and feel the warm spot that you just came and sat up from. That is not your ministry. Warming a pew is not your ministry. Loving God and loving each other and partnering together to go win a lost world is what our ministry is. In Jesus' name, you're going to answer this altar call by getting out of that warm pew and getting across the aisle to someone that you don't know and saying, I want to live life with you. And boy, is it an adventure to live life with people that are in your church, that don't think like you, that don't talk like you, that don't walk like you. God moved me to the greatest hunting capital of the world, fishing capital of the world. I don't want to say this out loud, but I'm not a fisherman. I don't even like coffee that much. And God moved me here. And it has been the time of our life. You know why? Because in diversity of relationship and giftings, I sharpen you and you sharpen me, and together we lock arms and we go win a world for Jesus. I would encourage you strongly as your pastor. This altar call is not going to be answered by a hand raise. It's not going to be answered by a nice song being played. It's going to be answered by getting out of the aisle and meeting someone that you don't know, inviting them to coffee. I'll have a tea, iced tea, please, with a little bit of lemonade, a lot of ice. Getting next to the people that you're called to live life with, man, what a beautiful thing it is to be part of the body of Christ. tag, you're it. I have met with almost every one of you in this room at least once. Now it's your job to go do what's been modeled to you and love each other in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we thank you. A prayer of blessing over our fathers today as they go enjoy their day with barbecues and dinners and whatever they have planned with their family. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the leaders of this house. We thank you that they led a full church today. Typically, Father's Day is a time where people don't show up to church, and Mother's Day is a time when people come to church. But Father, we thank you for the fathers of this house that made it a priority to get to the house of God. Would you bless them, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Before you go that way, make sure you slap someone high five, shake their hand, and love them.